just thinking, you know, the Bible said where two or more gather together, I'm there with you. You know, one way we meet with Jesus is when we gather together in church. Can I have an amen? Now listen, I want to say to some of you that may be watching, because I believe that like my brother Bobby Stevens, he don't mind me taking his word. He said, Pastor, some of them stuck. You know, you've been sitting at home for more than a year now. And if you can go to work, and if you can go to the gym, and you go to the store, and you can't still come to church, I believe you might be stuck. And I believe, listen, because I believe that God is among his people. And I believe there's a place. Listen, I know that some of you might have some concerns, listen. But I believe that if you got faith to go to the gym and work out, you ought to have faith to come and worship God. Come on, somebody. If you got faith to walk through Walmart and Home Depot, I believe you ought to have faith to come into the house of God. Somebody say amen. And the disciple is called to be with Jesus. And we looked at a disciple is also called Jesus. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. I challenge all of you to join me daily. Make it a point to daily read God's word, because God speaks to us through his word. How many of you are reading the Bible, reading some of the scripture on a daily basis? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. If you're reading the Bible, trying to read the Bible at least every day, raise your hand. Come on, let's thank God for. I want to encourage you, those who haven't developed the habit. If you want to be a disciple, Jesus didn't want to come. He didn't just come to make church members. He didn't just come to fill buildings with consumers. He came to make men and women who would be devoted to him. And the early church was devoted to his teaching. And if you're going to be a disciple, it was going to require that you learn how to spend time with him, reading his word. Because God speaks to us through his word. And then we talked about what it means to go for Jesus. You are God's representative, regardless of where you work, whether you're in the educational field, whether you're in the industrial field, whether you're in the financial or the banking field, wherever you are, you're just not a banker, you're just not a educator, you're just not a pipe fitter or mechanic. You're God's ambassador. You're his representative. And for many people, the only Jesus they'll ever see is the Jesus in you. And so therefore, we must be willing to go for Jesus. Jesus said in Isaiah 6, verse 8, he said, who will go for me? And whom will I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Would you say that to the Lord? Say, here am I, Lord. Come on. Are you willing to be God's representative? Because listen, everybody else come out of the closet. How many of you, it's time for us to come out of the closet. Can I have an amen? Well, I want to spend the rest of this morning's message. We started we talked about the fact that if we're going to be a disciple, we must be willing to love like Jesus. Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, here's our text. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples because of your love one for another. Jesus said that one of the marks of being a disciple, one who follows Jesus, one who brings his life under his lordship, one who endeavors to replicate, to model his values, is one who's committed to loving others. I want you to know that's why the Bible says if any man, there's a whole lot of people lying today. I'm going to say it again. There's a whole lot of people lying today. They've got on their page, they're posting about Jesus, and then they're hating this one because they have a different political party or a different race. I say there's a whole lot of people lying today. Because Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to love like I love. How many know Jesus didn't just love the people who loved him? He loved even his enemies. Jesus washed even Judas' feet. Could I have an amen? And so I want to quickly kind of review. Last week we talked about if we're going to love like Jesus, then we're going to have to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the fact that because we have all been forgiven, how many know he now commands us to forgive just as he's forgiven us? It's not an option for a believer. It's not a choice. If you want God to forgive you, is the only point in the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer where Jesus felt the need to reiterate and say it once again. He said, if you will not forgive people their sins, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. But if you will forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. I shared how for 5 years I lived a life in prison because I held somebody in my heart because I wouldn't forgive them. I hope you're not in prison today. How many of you can be free today? I did a devotion. How many of you, this morning, you can get out of jail today? You know when you play Monopoly, you got get out of jail free card? Look at somebody and say, you can get out of jail today. Come on. I want you to know. And it's the key is forgiveness. Say forgiveness. And if you won't forgive, I want you to know, then God says, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. You got to forgive. You got to let it go. Look at somebody and say, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. And one of the greatest ways we can demonstrate the love of Jesus is to make a commitment to let it go. This morning, I want to spend the bulk of my time speaking on the next 2 points. I want to say again, if we're going to love like Jesus, we're going to have to learn to speak the truth in love. Because love is often expressed in our words. Paul went as far to say in Ephesians 5, listen to what he says, you husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Not even, just as Christ loved the church. Listen, and he gave himself for her that he might wash her with the water of the word. I'm going to read the Message Bible in a minute, but listen, leave it up there. The King James or the NIV said that he might wash her with the water of the word. But listen what it says in the Message Bible. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly how Christ did for the church. Listen, a love that's marked by giving and not getting. I want to ask you, is that how you love people? Because if we're going to love Jesus, I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about loving everybody. The Bible says if we're going to love like Jesus, Jesus is a love. Jesus is not in a relationship for what he can get out of him back or not. Come on. He's going to love you regardless of how you respond to it. Jesus loved the people who cussed him. He loved the people who spat on him. He loved the people who beat him. He looked down with affection. He could have called 10,000 angels and wiped them all off, but he chose to forgive them because he loved them. And I want you to know that the love of Jesus is a love that forgives, but a love that speaks the truth. I like the next verse. Put the next verse in verse 26. Listen, Christ's love, read it with me. Come on. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. And everything, say everything, everything he does and says is designed to bring out the best. The best of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And this is how husbands ought to love their wives. Anybody beside me need some help? How many know that's a tall order, Brother Randy? I want you to know, I'm telling you, I'm still learning to love like Jesus. Anybody beside me still learning to love like Jesus? I'm telling you, listen, we can't do it in our own strength. But this morning, I want to talk about these few verses. Listen to what it says. His love evokes her beauty. I want to help some of you right now. The word evoke means to call forth. It means to recall. It means to bring to conscience. In other words, Jesus' words This is what he calls us forth. Listen to me. This is how Jesus, we sometimes, because we mess up, we feel dirty, we feel unworthy, we feel that God doesn't love us. But how many know God loves us and he speaks over us? He said, you're holy because of my blood. Come on. He calls us righteous. He calls us adopted. He calls us dearly loved. He calls us accepted. I want you to know this is the God we serve, that listen, that in your lowest point, in your darkest point, God said, I still love you. I'm telling you, ain't nothing you can do about it. I love you. And I want you to know that this is how we are called to love one another. His love brings out the best. I want to ask you a question. Here's the love test. Does your words bring out the very best in others? Do you call people's potential forth, and when they're feeling so unworthy, unloved, that you say, but God has a plan for you. His plans are good and not evil. His plans are to give you a future, to give you a hope. Do you remind people that when they feel at their lowest point that God has forgiven you, that he paid a price for you, even before they've accepted, Jesus already declared, you're forgiven. I've already forgiven you. I've already paid the price for you. And that's what to love like Jesus means, to learn to use our words that build up and not tear down. Even in his correction, Jesus still brings out the best in us. Even when he's disciplining us, he does it in a way that he communicates the truth in love. I want you to know that this is probably one of the ones that I have to work on regularly. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stores up anger. Love is never harsh. It's never rude. It's not easily angered. My wife had to remind me, One day we were both in the car recently, and someone called me, and I don't always take some of the calls when we're out on a date, and someone called, and I kind of took the call hesitantly, and it went on to begin to say, well, you know, I just want you to know, I come by to get some of the food, and they started complaining. Now I want you to know my first reaction wasn't to speak the truth in love. And I want you to know, I kind of listened to him for a while, and he kind of went on. And my wife can always tell when, see, I got a vein right here. Anybody beside me? And when I get a little bit upset, that vein starts sticking out right in it. And I started raising my voice. She said, Neil, my wife, thank God, my wife is like the Holy Ghost sometimes. She said, Neil, you're raising your voice. I said, I'm not raising my voice. But I was raising my voice. Thank God for a loving wife who reminds me that no matter how right you are, if you don't communicate in love, it's not going to be heard. The Bible says, listen what it says in Proverbs 15:4, kind words heal and help, but cutting words wound and maim. I want to say to every person here, and you're single, married, divorced, whatever, we're going to have whatever we say. You're going to live in the kind of home that you create with your words. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith the world was framed by the words of God. I want you to know that a lot of times we're living in the situation we've created with our words. Let me give you an example. You know, when we were first married, I'm sort of very meticulous. I like things clean. I like everything. And my wife grew up in a home, her grandmother, she was raised with her grandmother. Y'all heard me tell this story. And her grandmother fixed her bed. Her grandmother cooked for them and everything because her grandmother lived in a home. So when we got married, it was a struggle for her to sometime to live up to my expectations. But rather than build her up, I began to tear her down. My wife would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and make me homemade biscuits. Oh, yeah, it ain't got too many like that today. And rather than be appreciative, the fact that she got up at 5 a.m. to make homemade biscuits, I would complain because there was dishes in the sink. I was lucky she didn't throw them biscuits at me, huh? And you know what? Rather than appreciate and affirm and be grateful, I began to be fault-finding. I began to be negative, and I began to be critical. And over time, this once enthusiastic, excited wife who wanted to do everything to please her husband, over time, I began to tear her down. And it was only a matter of time that our world had become critical, that our home began to be fault-finding, that our home began to be negative. Why? Because I created the world I was living in with the words of my mouth. And it got so bad that my wife said, I can't live like this no more. I didn't join up for this. And one day we had a heated conversation. She said, I'm divorcing you and I'm out of here. Thank God for mercy. Say mercy. Thank God for mercy. I don't know what I'd have did. I told her, if you leave, I'm leaving too. But God had mercy, and y'all know I shared my story. She said, we had problems, and we were at odds with one another. And she said, Neil, unless you go get counseling, I'm not in here anymore. And thank God we went to counseling, and over time and prayer and hard work and allowing God to change, God healed our marriage, and we now have been married more than 37 years. Come on, give God some praise. Now, I tell you that because a lot of time we take for granted. There's people sitting in here right now. They say they love their wife, but their words don't demonstrate it. And we sometimes can tear the people who we say we love the most. We can destroy them with our words. Parents do it all the time. Teachers do it sometimes. Coaches do it sometimes. And I want you to know that words have either death or life. Words are never neutral, and words matter. One of the biggest lies hell ever told. How many remember that we used to say as kids, sticks and stone may break my bone, but words may never hurt me? That's a lie. Words have created more wars. Words has caused more divorce. Words have split up more churches. Words have destroyed more people than all the guns in the world, because words have power. And the Bible tells us here in Proverbs chapter 15 that words can cut and can wound and can maim. And long after the physical pain has gone, the emotional, the internal pain can still be there. And I'm telling you, if we're going to learn to love like Jesus, we're going to have to learn to love with our words. We're going to have to learn. You can change. I'm a testimony of that. You can learn how to speak positive. I didn't even know how. Listen to me. I think I shared this one time with you. I didn't know, but this is what he told me. He said, Neil, listen. He said, I want you to begin laying hands on your wife, and I want you to begin every day praying over her. I said, well, what did I do? I don't know. He said, I want you to begin speaking Proverbs 31 over her. I want you to begin to call those things. Well, sometimes it's calling those things that you don't even see yet, but by faith, calling it forth. And I begin to speak, God, I thank you that Angela is a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. Now, by this time, she ain't won't be with me. But I had to speak it by faith. I began to speak that, Lord, that the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, that she does him good and not evil all the days of his life. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She rises up early. She's diligent about her hand. Her children shall rise up and call her blessed. I begin to pray over my wife, and I begin to speak it. See, you got to speak it by faith, because I have learned that what you say, you're going to have. And if you will learn to speak words of life, if you'll learn to speak words that build up, if you'll learn to speak words that heal, then over a matter of time, it didn't change in one day, it didn't change in one week, it didn't change in one month. But over time, I want you to know God began to heal and God to begin to make whole. And I want you to know that it was a matter of time that all of a sudden my wife began to, she didn't want to forgive me at first. You know what it's like to be with somebody, and they not only want to be with you, they don't even forgive you. I'm talking, but it was like a brick wall bumping in. But I want you to know, this is why I'm telling you that there's power in our words. And if you'll learn to love like Jesus, and if you'll learn to speak words, the Bible says his words evoke her beauty, and everything he says is to bring out the best in her. And over time, as I begin to speak life and I begin to speak words that encourage, over time, guess what happened? All of a sudden, my wife began, the walls begin to come down, and all of a sudden, the hard heart and the begin to get solved. And over time, God took things what looked like it was impossible, he made possible. My wife, the fact that my wife comes up here and preaches and encourages, for people who knew my wife before then, that's a miracle. But that's what God will do. Come on, let's thank God. That's what he will do. He can heal. He can make whole. He can turn things around. My wife is a better preacher than I am, but that's what God will do. He will bring healing and wholeness and encouragement. And that's what we're to do. But I want to bring it to where we live at today, because right now we're living at one of the most negative and divisive times in American history. We're in this cancel culture. All you got to do is look at some of your social media pages. And today we're living in a time where people are angry or negative or demeaning or hurtful, and it's with their words. Words can cause an insurrection. Words, don't ever downplay the power of words. Words are powerful. Out. The Bible said we should shine as lights in the midst of a dark world, where we shine as light. I want to tell you, here's our opportunity. In a world full of negativity, we ought to be the one people that are telling people, I believe in you. When you go in the restaurant and everybody complaining about the food and making the waitress, how many of you, it's not even her fault? And we fussing at her and she ain't even the cook. And you take it out on the way. Come on, listen, we ought to love them. We need to encourage them. We need to say, listen, baby, thank you for how you do. We need to take time to build people up. We ought to be the most encouraging, the most building up. We ought to be the most complimentary people. I want you to know that people ought to be drawn here. They ought to be able to say, listen, this person came in my restaurant. I was feeling so depressed, so discouraged. I wanted to take my life. But they began to speak life into me. They began to tell me how everything was going to be all right. They began to tell me that I can make it. They began to tell me that God's going to turn around. Listen, I got so excited. I decided, listen, I need to go check out what they have. That's what Jesus said. They ought to see our good works. And they ought to glorify God. People ought to be drawn because of the words we speak. Listen to what it says in the book of Colossians. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you might know how to answer everyone. I like the way it says it in the Message Bible. It says, be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. Grace is learning to bring out the best. Grace is learning to find a way to compliment. Grace is learning to look beyond their faults and see their need. Grace is saying, you know, who was the steel magnet that made more millionaires? What was his name, Angela? At the turn of the century. Anyway, there was a famous steel magnate in the United States. I'm drawing a blank his name. And he created more millionaires than anybody at that time because of his company. And they said, what was the secret? Why did he create so many successful people in his company? And he said, listen, he said, people... he said, developing people is like refining gold. He said, you got to remove a ton of dirt to develop 1 ounce of gold. He said, here's the key. I don't go looking for the dirt. I go looking for the gold. How many know we got to start looking for the gold? Come on. Anybody can see the dirt, but I want you to, we need people who say, I see the gold. I see potential. I believe in you. I see something in you. And I want you to know that if we're going to learn to love like Jesus, I want you to know that we're going to have to learn how to see potential. We're going to see moving time in my life. I get stuck on this point. I guess God wants want me to speak to this issue because I think we struggle sometimes with our words. Anybody beside me struggle with loving with their words? Some of you don't want to raise your hand. Here's the challenge this morning. God has called us to love people with our words. Ephesians 4 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for the building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed with the day of redemption. Do you know that we can grieve the Holy Spirit? You know that word means we can make the Holy Spirit sad. We can offend the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit lives in us. And there have been times that I have grieved the Holy Spirit because of harsh or wrong words. Paul warns us against unwholesome, harsh, mean-spirited words that can grieve the Holy Spirit. You want to see more miracles in your life? Then watch your words. You want to see the power of God flow in your home, then watch your words. You want to begin to see God begin to move in your children's life, then watch what words you speak. I share this last testimony. It's not a testimony, it's a... I shared one time, we can be so meticulous about certain things. I told you I like things a certain way. One day I was cutting my grass, edging it, getting it all nice and neat. And my daughter pulled up and she backed up on my grass, Randy. Can you believe that? I got angry over somebody rolling over my grass. And I said some mean, hurtful word. It's still, there's still a tender part because I realize how we can wound people deeply because of the words of our mouth. And the minute it went out of my mouth, I felt I grieved the Holy Spirit. I knew I made God sad. I knew I hurt the Lord because I misrepresented him. You see, whenever we say things harsh, whenever we say things that cut people down, whenever we say things that we grieve him. I want you to know, oh, I tell you, I was so torn up because over a piece of grass, I lost my temper and said things that were hurtful and got angry. And I tell you, I begged my daughter. I said, "Baby, I'm so sorry. I misrepresented Jesus. I misrepresented the Lord. Can you forgive me? Can you forgive me?" Sometimes we create, you know how they say, hurt people, hurt others. And sometimes we hurt people with our words. And they can, in turn, if they don't release that, then we have a whole generation who's hurt and angry. I believe behind so much of the violence today is sometimes kids who've had words spoken to them. I've been in the mall sometime, and I've heard a mama cuss her own child, "You filthy, no good." That's nice. They started using blankety blank, this cussing a little child. Didn't I tell you, leave that alone? Didn't I tell you, don't grab that off the shelf? And I mean, cuss the. I said, no wonder we got a generation who, when they grow up, they think that's normal because that's what's been spoken over their lives. And I just want to say today that if we're going to learn to love like Jesus, we're going to have to learn to love with our words. I want to close this morning. I didn't even get to the best part, but I just felt I just want to give us an opportunity to act on it this morning. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you causing the Holy Spirit to be sorrowful because of sometimes the words we speak? I believe that God is grieved over the church at large. Hear what I'm saying. This past election cycle was the most destructive, divisive, hate-filled that I've ever seen in my lifetime on both sides, whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent. And watching the spewing of the hate and the harsh word, I believe, I'm not talking but by lost people, I'm talking but by Christian people. And I believe that we've grieved the Holy Spirit in our country. And I've said it again, it's hard to have revival out there when we don't have revival in here. It's hard to love people out there when we don't love in here. And I believe that we have to, if we want the Spirit of God to come, listen, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I made a commitment, God, help me. Put a guard around my mouth. Help me, Lord, if I can't say something that lifts people, because words matter. And if we're going to love like Jesus, we're going to have to learn to love with our words. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus, that you love us so much that your words bring out the best in us. That everything you say and everything you do is designed to make us whole. Lord, I thank you that when I was feeling at my lowest, that God, you used people to speak into my life. And you spoke life. You spoke hope. You spoke purpose, God. And I am where I'm at today, Lord, because of you loving me. Lord, I pray today that, God, you will help us to love like you, Jesus. That, Lord, we'll put away all negative communication. Lord, that we'll put away, Lord, all hurtful, all harsh, all all communication, Lord, that tear down, all demeaning words. God, we need healing in our nation, Lord. God, we need you to come, Lord. God, we need healing in our churches, Lord. But Lord, we need healing in our homes. And God, I'm looking out over people right now, and God, there's husbands who, rather than build their wives up, they've torn them down. Lord, there's wives who, rather than build their husband up, Lord, they've used their words to torn them down. Lord, there's children here, and there's young people here, and Lord, they still remember the words that were spoken over their life. You'll never do nothing. You'll never amount to nothing. You can't do this. You can't. You're not. Why you're not like your brother or your sister? And God, those words got on the inside. God, I pray today you'll nullify every negative, every hurtful, every destructive word. And that today, Lord, you'll bring healing. Heal today, Lord. Heal. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let us hear above every other voice. Let us hear your voice, Jesus. Your voice that says, you're loved, you're chosen, you're special, you're my special treasure, you're beautiful. Let us hear your words that declare, Lord God, we're forgiven, we're righteous, we're adopted into your family. God, let us hear your words that say we're accepted in the beloved. That we don't have to measure up, Lord God. We don't have to fit in a circle. We don't have to, Lord God, be what other people want, Lord, because you are just the way we are. I pray, Father, this morning for every person who, Lord, wrestling with wrong thoughts and wrestling, Lord God, with hurts and things that were spoken over their lives. Today, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, may you go and bring the healing, the healing anointing of the Lord Jesus, and heal every hurt. Bridge the gap between the love they got and the love they needed. Lord, today, when they didn't have the approval and the encouraging words, God, let them be reminded that you're their Heavenly Father, and that today, you speak life, you speak hope, you speak faith over their lives. Lord, I pray today, may your word echo in their thoughts and in their heart, and may it bring healing. You said in the book of Psalms that you sent your word to heal us and to deliver us. Right now, all over this room, Father, I release your word today. Bring healing, Lord God. Bring deliverance today, God. Set free today. Lord, let your words, God, I pray. That's why I encourage you to read God's word, because there's life, there's healing in his word. There's health to all those who find. Father, over every situation, I don't care what's been spoken over their life, today, Lord, we speak healing. Today, Lord, we speak health today. Lord, today we speak wholeness today in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray especially in homes today, all over this place where, Lord God, sometimes we put on a face before we come to church, but we know that, Lord, we have torn one another down. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, we'll change the words we speak, and that, Lord, we'll make a commitment to you that, Lord God, that we're going to speak words of life. That we're going to speak words that build up. That we're going to speak words that make whole. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We cancel every lie, every assignment, everywhere the devil has whispered a lie, a destructive word, a painful word, where he may have used others. Father, we pray today, nullify that assignment. And God, let the word of God go deep in their hearts. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, come on, let's thank God for his word.